What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And this week, we've got my favorite guest of all time. And I think he's the people's favorite guest, too, because these episodes that my friend Todd comes on are the highest rated episodes that we've ever had. Now, that might be because you may remember Todd from such stories as the time we accidentally, unwittingly got stoned in college with a group of KKK members and white supremacists. But that was a popular show, Todd. And it's almost like that's the apex of Taking the Over history. And I don't know if we'll ever get back there, but we're going to try tonight. And I'm so excited to have you with us. And welcome back to Taking the Over. How are you?
Thank you so much. I love when you lie to me. I'm doing great, man. I'm really excited for tonight. And, you know, going to try to make some ground up from hanging out with our not so popular friends that one night. But yeah, doing great, man.
Good. Yeah. Good. Do you think we could be canceled for that?
You know what? I hope. I want to be on the side of Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I want to. Please
I've got cancel. Some Dave Chappelle news tonight for the podcast.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Tonight's theme, Todd, is would you like to play a game? Because maybe I've just been watching too much Squid Game. But I find in various places in my life right now, I'm going to people that I know and I'm saying things like, would you like to play a game? So tonight on Taking the Over, we're going to play a game with the listeners. As you know, the Saints are playing Seattle this week.
Ooh, yes.
On the road. And as you know, on Taking the Over, we usually have a little music running in the background. Mm-hmm. So Todd, for the listener, it's a Taking the Over audience participation, would you like to play a game? Prize is if any listener that listens to this show tweets me at Taking the Over and names the title and artist of every song played on this show tonight in the background, that person will win a free ticket to go see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan live in New Orleans at the Blender.
What?
On next Thursday, October 28th.
Oh, that's awesome. All right.
All you have to do is identify every song and artist playing in the background of tonight's show and tweet it at Taking the Over. And I will take you to go see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan live at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans.
Dude, that's great. Do I get to
must
name?
Have your entry in by midnight Saturday? So first person to do it, I'll take. And dude, maybe somebody will want to play a game. Maybe nobody will want to play a game.
Do you want to play a game?
You want to play a game?
Do I get to pick one of the songs?
Yeah, but if you pick one of the songs, you're going to have to pick it after the episode so you don't say the name and title of it out during the episode. But yeah, you can pick out a song. And we're going to the Seattle theme. We're going to the Seattle theme.
Oh.
Yeah. Does not mean that every song is going to be by a Seattle artist. But it's a Seattle theme this week because we're playing Seattle.
Okay.
All right. Okay. You got all that?
Okay.
Todd, would you like to play a game?
I would like to play a game.
Okay, this game is called What Would You Do? And I want you to pretend for a moment that you are an illegal sports bookie. Okay?
All right.
And you've been doing this for a while. Doesn't really matter how long you're an established guy. Okay. And what you do is you're a maker of books, and you get a few new players 1 week, right? And first week of betting goes off, and these players owe you some money, and the players stiff you. What would you do to them as the bookie?
Okay. Doesn't sound like money's an issue. It's a principle of the thing.
What?
Doesn't sound like money's an issue. It's the principle of the thing.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I mean, like, okay, like you don't want to be on the word on the street is like that, you know, you're a pussy or you're a pushover. They can steal on you, rob on you.
Right.
Like you're not that fool to steal on, you know.
What are you gonna do? So
I tell you what. You cause at least $2,000 worth of damage in their life. You call their boss.
All right.
Yeah. Like you really get somebody involved, like just like those debtors do. Like you call a bunch of people in their lives that let them know that you're like, hey, your whole family knows now. Like it's gonna be like, okay, like I don't know. Is that the simplified version? I'd burn their house down. House down, $400.
I'd burn their house down over $400. If they didn't have a house, I'd burn their mother's house down.
I've been out of Louisiana too long, my friend.
If their mother didn't have a house, I'd burn their car down.
That's fantastic. It's been too long. Because you have to, right? Because you got all these other people.
Oh, yes, people. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I'd probably warn them first.
Yeah.
Verbally.
Well, pimping ain't easy, but it's necessary. You know.
That's right, it is.
You gotta learn it, man. You have to burn their house down. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I was wrong to think otherwise.
You think that's a good plan? I mean, this is the hype. What would you do?
I'm not even talking about anybody we know.
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah, no, I know people I want to burn their house down too, but you can get away with it. You can get away with it. I almost burnt in college. I almost burnt a guy's SUV down at 3 a.m. on a Thursday night with two chemical compounds. I was dressed in black. I was up against the fence outside of their house because this guy did me wrong. And I sat there for like 5 minutes before I burned his car to the ground and decided to go home.
Was this a friend of ours?
Oh, you know him very well. Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Tell me his name. I beep names out, and I've learned how to use the beep button.
Well, you got to take a when you're tying things off.
I got you. All right. It's funny. Like we talked before the last time you're on or that one time you're on about we accidentally ran into those very racist people in the woods and made their acquaintance and got stoned with them in their trailer park. But it's like, and that all happened because you and I were college fraternity brothers, right? And correct. What I'm coming to learn as I age as a man who was in a college fraternity is like part of being in a fraternity is in college is making fun of like guys that you were in the fraternity with that you don't really like. You know what I mean? It's like for people that don't understand, like you're not friends with all 40 guys. There's people you don't like. There's people you actively don't like. There's people that just entertain you. There's people that you think are goofy. There's people that end up becoming like the archetype of what an asshole is represented by in life, you know? So it's a very valuable experience. But one of the most valuable experiences, Todd, is making fun of these people 20 years later. And with Todd, I would like to ask you, would you like to play a game?
I'll play the game.
You're going to play the game?
I'm going to play the game.
Todd, this game is called Friend or Lesbian.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Friend or Lesbian is the game. So what you do is you go find an old friend, a person that you used to be friends with that's, you know, like a middle-aged dude, right? Yeah, air quotes friend. And he needs to look like a middle-aged lesbian.
Oh, my God.
And then you just go take photos of this person and then you get another group of friends together that all know this person, but he's not in the second group. And you share a photograph of this person with all of the friends, and you ask, is this or is this Alessia? It's another game that listeners can play, because every listener, I know if you're like a middle-aged dude listening to this show, you've got a friend that
you have that lesbian friend
that looks like he's a middle-aged lesbian.
The fringe guy that fell off, you got that lesbian friend.
You've got a middle-aged lesbian. And the funny thing about these friends that we all have, they look like middle-aged lesbians when they were 20. This isn't an age thing.
Yeah, we just didn't know it at the time.
We just didn't know it at the time. We didn't know what middle-aged lesbians looked like.
Yeah.
Turns out the whole time we've had a friend.
It's like being a double agent and you didn't know you were a double agent at the start. It's like being turned. It's like, okay, I'm in it for the really right reasons. And then you learn all this stuff about people, and then you kind of learn like, oh, wait, you're kind of an asshole. And then that continues for like 20 years, and now I'm ready to expose you as the lesbian you are.
Yeah, they don't even have to be bad people. They just have to look like a middle-aged
person. No, they don't have to be bad people. Yeah.
That's what you listeners should do. It's a fun game. Go find a friend of yours that a bunch of people know that looks like a middle-aged lesbian, and then text message them in a group and go, hey, let's play a game. Is this so-and-so, or is this a middle-aged lesbian?
And I think the comparison shots are out there. I think that you can use Google goggles, right, you know, and try to find, you know, there's apps for it, people that look like you.
I've got like an archetype of like Subaru driving, couple golden retrievers, you know.
Yeah.
Dual income, no kids, very, very successful, polite people.
You forget I live, like 5 miles from Boulder, Colorado, and everybody drives a 4-screen Subaru. Like that can't be in the search experience.
Everybody looks like
they're a little skinnier.
They're about to say they're more fit.
They're a little skinnier. They're a little skinnier. They're more less lipstick lesbians, or
they're just better. They're in much better shape. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cancel me now so I can join the right crew. But yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. I didn't make up the term. They did. That's what happens.
That's right.
I love playing this game.
This is a good game. And like I said, this game, anybody can play this game. You've all got that friend. I know you do. Last week, Todd, I had Cedric on. We talked about the anatomy, like the origin of a bad bet. Because I placed a wager on the Las Vegas Raiders like 2 hours before it came out that John Gruden was a horrible racist, or more horrible racist than he had been exposed as 3 days previously. The origin of a bad bet last week, except the Gruden situation was funny, right? But the Raiders still won.
Right.
The Raiders will still won. So
dude, I was at the game.
That's right, you were, because you live in Denver and go to Denver Broncos versus Las Vegas Raiders games. That had to suck. You probably thought y'all were going to win, huh?
Oh, we were at the Gruden game, the Gruden Bowl. We were at the Gruden-less Bowl.
Win one for like, not Gruden.
Yeah, exactly. It was like let's do it, and man, it was a fun first quarter.
It was a fun
after
first
that. Quarter. Oh man, after that, I had great seats. Everything was great. It was 75 degrees, sunny. Yeah, and then the Raiders decided to just be the better football team by far.
This week, I may have done it again. I may have accidentally placed just an ostentatiously badly forecasted, a couple hours too early bet that is going to blow up and look like absolute doo-doo. All right. So as you know, I occasionally will wager on the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. There's a fight at the top of the card this Saturday that catches my eye, and it's between the number 5 contender for the at 185 pounds, Vittori, is fighting the number 2 ranked contender, Paulo Costa. Now, both men's both men share losses to Israel Adesanya, who is the 185 pound champion. In this fight, and then of course Vittori's lost to him twice, and then Costa lost to him in Costa's last fight. Costa looked horrible in that fight. Costa would later admit that he was actually drunk on wine during the fight because he claimed that he drank a bottle of wine the night before to help him go to sleep. He had a horrible showing.
Awesome.
Adesanya kicked his ass. Vettori has fought Adesanya twice. One time was a split decision a few years ago. This past time was almost a unanimous 50-45 fight where he lost to Adesanya again. But Vettori is a scrapper, and Vettori had won like his previous five fights before that. I was expecting Vettori to be out of this world favorite because it's pretty clear that he's going to beat Paulo Costa's ass at 185 pounds due to the fact that, number one, Costa's kind of a head, like he's literally been losing his mind and doing weird, shady, questionable things since he admitted that he was drunk during a championship UFC fight in his one championship UFC opportunity. He's been acting even stranger than that since that happened. So one of the things that I look for in a good value on a UFC bet is when one of the fighters is having some kind of fucking mental breakdown. Because you have to be mentally strong to be successful. Now, this fight is supposed to take place at 185 pounds. That's the middleweight limit for UFC. About an hour after I placed one of the largest bets that you will find me place, think like 14 units on Vettori at minus 140, because I felt like minus 140 was an outstanding... I thought he should be minus three. It's like he's... It comes out that Paulo Costa is like, guess what, bro? I'm fucking fat. I'm a power puncher. All I do is knock people the fuck out. And I weigh about 211 pounds right now. And I'm supposed to be at 185 in 3 days. But fuck you. I'm not getting to 185. He can fight me at maybe 205. 205 sounds fair. Just a light heavyweight fight. He says this 3 days before the fight. Vettori, the guy that's doing what he's supposed to do and is presumably cutting weight right now, goes, yeah, I just want to fight the guy. I'll fight him. I'll fight him anyway. I'll fight him at 205. Vettori is a wrestler. That's his advantage in this fight against Costa.
That's exactly
is wrestling. So now you got a scenario where 3 days out from a fight, you got a fighter. I watched this interview with Costa that he recorded with a Canadian broadcast company earlier today. And at the end of the 7-minute interview, he picks up some food and starts fucking eating.
The guy that's overweight.
He's not even trying to cut weight. And the guy who's doing the right thing, Vittori's going, well, you know, I'll fight him at 205.
Because it's trash 205.
He's going to get paid. He's going to probably get most of Costa's purse, too. Oh, and also, right? Costa doesn't believe he should have to give up his purse. Even though he signed up to fight at 185. That's where the fight was booked. 3 days out, he's going, oh, I should not have to give any of my purse. That's the anatomy of a bad beat this week. Bad beat incoming. I go as apeshit as you can go on Vettori this morning. Couple hours later, news starts trickling in that his opponent's like, fuck it. I'm 30 pounds overweight right now, and I'm not even going to try. I dare
you
not to make
it. So you go all in.
I've already gone all in. Like with the Raiders last week. It's Saturday night. The weigh-in's Friday. The guy's 211 pounds today and still eating today.
He's fear eating. I tell you what, I wrestled for a long time.
I was going to say, when you wrestled, did you have to cut weight?
All the time. Yeah.
Tell me about that. Unfortunately, tell the people what it's like to cut weight.
Oh, so to cut weight for most wrestlers, like it's almost like Hell Week training. You know, like as soon as you sign up for wrestling, they put you through the ringer and and especially in high school, you drop your weight in like a month. So after a month of running 10 miles a day and then wrestling for 3 hours right after that, you're at the weight your body can only sustain. I luckily,
these UFC guys, they acutely cut weight. So he'll, in theory, what he should have done was showed up this week. Costa should show up this week around 200 and cut 15 or so pounds for Friday. And then immediately within 24 hours, put on enough weight to get, like, he's fought at 215 plus before.
Correct. But he gets down to 185. Every UFC fighter, every wrestler knows how to do this. This is not their first go round. They know how to do this. Whatever he did on purpose, and either it's fear driven, like you're hoping and betting on.
Yeah, but like, I still think you know what's like, the thing. Vittori, if they fight at 195 or God forbid, fucking 205, I don't know, mm-hmm. 205, 195, I still feel like all is not lost.
Oh yeah, no, 195 is not all is not lost. But once you get down to 189, that's a whole nother weight class.
But what I'm saying now, I'm talking about for UFC, if. Yes. Instead of fighting at 185, if Costa comes in at 195, I'm not as scared as I am if this motherfucker just only cuts to 205 and it becomes a light heavyweight fight at 205.
yeah. At that point, it doesn't matter. Any fast weight you gain is not good weight. It's what you got to carry. It's not boxing. You're not leaning on me like you did, like the Gypsy King leaned on, you know, Wilder. Like, it's not leaning weight. It's not a part of the thing. Any wrestler or UFC fighter can handle a little extra weight, and that's not a problem. They'll get it off of them.
It's also a 5-round fight. If he had to deplete himself to get down to 185, this Costa motherfucker, no way was he going to go 5 rounds, and that's what I was wagering on.
Correct.
Instead, they're let him cut 6 pounds between now and Friday and eat a cheeseburger while he's doing it.
Yeah.
I've
watched guys.
That's the anatomy of a bad beat. That is the origin story of a bad beat this week. Last week's origin story of a bad beat, we still won. All right, Todd, you ready to talk about the NFL? NFL week 7?
Ready to let's get talk about the NFL. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
I got to tell you, there's some crazy lines this week. There's some big spreads. There's like some college football looking spreads this week where they're super, super far apart. But we're going to start with Thursday night. Cleveland and Denver are doing some battle, doing a little business up in Cleveland. Unfortunately, you won't be able to go watch the Broncos lose again in person this week. Cleveland is, I think the news is Mayfield may or may not start. By the time this podcast comes out, people will know if Baker Mayfield is starting at home on Thursday Night Football against the Broncos. Guess what? I don't think it matters. Baker is so bad that the backup might be an improvement. You know what I mean? I'm not really waiting with bated breath to find out if Baker Mayfield's going to play or not. Cleveland is 2-point favorites, and they lost all their running backs. And they are probably without their quarterback. You're the Denver guy.
Yeah.
You know Denver.
All right.
Tell me about this game.
All right. Well, the news is out. Baker's out.
Baker's out. Okay, great.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, like a couple hours ago, 1 or 2 hours ago, I read. We've heard the backup's name before. And you're right. I think that he might be better option for right now, especially. But being the Denver fan, Saints are my number one fan. I'm just supporting the local team. I just got to cover that. I'm not going to not go to a football game.
Not obligated to have a goddamn Colorado flag in your garage, but you do have to be a Broncos fan. And you do have the flag in your garage.
You have to support the locals. But yeah.
I mean, I don't move to a state and then put their flag in my garage. You're very excited about being a Coloradan. That's some team spirit right there.
Outside of my house.
Woohoo! Go Colorado. I got a Colorado flag in my garage. You're like twisted 21st century Robert E. Lee. Where Robert E. Lee's like, my allegiance is to Virginia. You're like, hey man, I'm a Coloradan. Look at this Colorado flag I've got in my garage. What is wrong with you?
Well, I got a Saints flag.
That's Saints flag.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All right. You're clearly a Coloradan. Tell me about the Denver Broncos, Todd.
All right. Well, so story on the street is Vic Fangio's he's on the hot seat. Everybody's like, you know, we have some talent. Teddy Bridgewater's ankle somewhat hurting him or something on the record. A lot of people are not happy with the talent we have and the lack of playing that we're doing. especially we got killed by the Raiders, like just absolutely killed. And being about 1,000 feet up and watching this disaster that happened on Sunday, about halftime, I left the like went down and hung out with some people. I was like, I can't.
You're
watch
in Mile
this
High
murder.
Stadium, so you're already pretty high.
And that's right.
So you were higher.
I got higher than most people in the stadium.
You were way up there.
Then at halftime, I got right down to the beer and pizza carts.
Ooh, you got lower. You got heavier.
Got just as high as everybody else.
Okay.
So that's how I judge myself. As high as everybody else. But I think that
Denver's plus two on the road. They gonna win this game?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they're going to win this game. I think they're angry. I think they do have some talent. I don't know what the heck's going on in their locker room. I don't know what they're not preparing for, but I think that everybody's on high alert and they're trying for new things.
TNT, Thursday night Teddy.
Thursday night Teddy. If he's playing, I'm sure he's going to play. But I think that they are hungry for it. I really do.
Do you think if Teddy plays, everybody should put a unit on Denver plus two on the road against Cleveland on Thursday night football?
I do.
Next game we're going to talk about, Todd, is a game that I do feel pretty good about betting on this week. It's going to be Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow traveling to Baltimore. Cincinnati is a 6.5 point road underdog. Meaning they're getting 6.5 points. Total on this game is 41. Todd, Baltimore's looked good. Baltimore's looked strong. 6.5's a lot of points in the NFL. And Cincinnati's shown they can put them up in a hurry. I really feel strongly about Cincinnati plus 6.5 on this game. I did a little further digging because I go, man, I'm pretty sure Cincy might come out and shock the world and win outright. The money line on this game is plus 230 for Cincinnati. So, Todd, this week I'm definitely going to take Cincinnati because I feel very strongly they're going to cover the 6.5. They're also – I'm going to take another unit and put it on the money line at that plus 230 odds. What's your thoughts on Cincinnati and Baltimore?
So, Cincinnati and the Baltimore who?
Ravens.
Right. Okay, I was just making sure we were talking about the same team. Okay, all right.
Is there another team from Baltimore that plays in the NFL?
I don't see that happening.
No. Now that you've affirmed that they're the Ravens, you don't think that Joe Burrow is going to win?
Now that
you're certain that I was talking about the Baltimore Ravens,
I was like, are the Orioles
you think they're going to win the game? This is good. This is why I have you on. No. This is why you're the best fucking guest in the world, by the way. This is it, Todd. This is why I love you. This is why you're the best guest.
Yes. I think that Joe Burrow, as much as dear to my heart and as much as love Joe Burrow, I don't think he's going to pull it out this week. I don't think he's about, and that six is not a number that's real in my head.
Next game we're talking about, Kansas City Chiefs are traveling to Nashville, Tennessee, where I'll be less than a month from now to see the Saints play the Tennessee Titans at Nissan Stadium. Man, Tennessee put on a show Monday night and won outright against one of the hottest teams in the NFL, in the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City now, man, struggling. Struggle bus Kansas City. KC stands for can't cover. Vegas is expecting Kansas City to cover 5.5 on the road in Tennessee. Total on the games, 57.5. Todd, I believe in the Tennessee Titans getting 5.5 points against a team that historically is shitty at covering, and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going all in on Kansas City plus 5.5. By the way, if you just wanted to take, I'm sorry, I'm going all in on Tennessee 5.5. If you wanted to just take Tennessee money line, they're plus 190. Todd, what's your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Nashville to play the Tennessee Titans?
Well, my thoughts on Kansas City, they don't lose a lot twice in a row. I think they can score more often than Derrick Henry can run 22 miles an hour for 75 yards.
You think KC's gonna shoot Derrick Henry?
I think they're gonna come back for some revenge next. I think they're gonna outshoot it. I think they can score. I don't think that Tennessee's backfield can prevent this win. I think a field goal is going to decide it. I think that Tennessee's motivated. I think they're kind of clicking now. You know, it's game seven now. You know, they're into it. They're not getting worse. They're getting better, as most people are, except for a few. We won't name them. But, yes, I believe that it's going to be a three-point game.
Okay. Well, I'm telling the listeners to take Tennessee plus 5.5. I have no earthly idea what you're telling them to do.
But oh, yeah, okay. I'm not a pro. Yeah,
that's
I'm
okay. Pro. That no, yeah, that's okay. God. That's why you're my favorite guest of all time. That's why. The Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins are playing. We don't even know who's going to be court. Like, if Deshaun Watson makes it to Miami and suits up Sunday, pick the Dolphins. Otherwise, don't. Which means don't fuck with that game. I'll tell you what's fun, though, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's fun.
I might be playing in that game.
I'll tell you what's fun is betting on the New York Jets. Nothing is more fun than betting on the New York Jets. It really is. It's my favorite way to lose money.
Dude, I broke even and I bet on them 4 times this week.
Isn't it fun?
I broke even. Yes, isn't it fun? It's so much fun because you never know.
Okay, so this week, dig this week's New York Jets bet. This week, they're traveling on up to Gillette Stadium at Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots. New England is a 7-point favorite in this game. Vegas thinks that New England is going to win this game by 7 points, Todd. What's your thoughts on the Jets traveling to New England, because my thoughts are that I'm betting on the Jets plus 7.
Really?
I love
so
betting
crazy.
On the Jets. Why would I not bet on the Jets?
Well,
betting on the Jets, not betting against the Jets.
This was the basis of a bad bet in my heart that just happened now when I said, really? Like, because the Jets, they don't score anything until the fourth quarter, then they're up 20, they're 22 to their 24. They always lose, but they get like 2 other touchdowns out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I lost money betting on New England last week. I was like, all right, they're going to do it. That was a close game, but man.
The mighty Jets aren't going to be like, we're not going to let some rookie quarterback in his own house beat us by more than 7 points. We're going to show him. Come on, Jets running back and Jets receivers, who I don't even know their names. The quarterback is a nice Mormon boy named Zach. I do know that.
Yeah.
And they're coached by Robert Saleh, who's a good coach in his first year. And boy, did that guy fuck up by signing up to be the coach of the New York Jets.
He really did. He really did. There is better things. How much do you say you're going to win by?
7.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. I think that New England runs away with it by 14.
So you wouldn't bet on the Jets with me?
No, but to that record, I haven't won any money this year.
There you go. Well, you keep doing things your way, sir. I was up like 21 units two weeks ago. I was up 21 units. And then last weekend, I think I ended up right about break even or up 10. It's not telling you that you should do what I do. I want you to have your own fun.
Well,
we're getting into the big heavy lines now. Let's get to these big heavy lines.
Let's get to the real ones.
Here's your first college football-like line of the week. The Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, are at home taking on the winless Detroit Lions. Their coach 2 weeks ago cried after the loss that didn't help them win last week. So this week he decided to take his franchise quarterback and shit on him at his post-game press conference in front of all the media. And Dan Campbell said that Jared Goff just doesn't have it. He's not doing what he needs to do. And this week, the Rams are favored by 14.5 points at home over the Detroit Lions. Todd, You feel comfortable taking the Rams to win by at least 15 points?
I do. But I know Detroit's got to be pissed off. But they don't have any home field whatsoever. I feel that that locker room is fucking, in turmoil. And this is going to be the catalyst for next week when they actually get close and or win their first game. But it won't be this week.
No. You think the Rams, we're not choosing a money line bet here.
No, yeah. We're choosing the 14, 15 point win.
You'd have
to
bet like $1,300 to win $100 on the money line this week. We're asking you, do you think that the Rams are going to beat them by 15 points?
No.
You're betting on Detroit. No. I like betting on the Lions, too. I like betting on Detroit Lions. I like betting on New York Jets. Makes me feel good.
They're not that hurt. I don't think they're going to lose by two. They're going to fight, and the Rams aren't going to.
Anybody can bet on a good team, Todd. Anybody can bet on a good team. It takes takes real character to bet on a bad team.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. They're going to lose by 8 points.
The next really big line is the Houston Texans traveling to Phoenix to take on the Arizona Cardinals, the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. Maybe the worst team in the NFL versus the best team in the NFL. Vegas certainly thinks so. This is the biggest spread we've had all year. This is like some Alabama shit. This is like Alabama taking on Mississippi State or something here, okay? Arizona is an 18-point home favorite over the Houston Texans.
Oh.
Todd, I don't want you to tell me that Arizona or Houston is going to win. What I want you to tell me is, do you think that Houston is going to lose by more or less than 18 points?
More. I think it's 21.
You would take.
They got Zach Ertz in there now. I don't think Houston knows who to cover. They can't cover D-Hop, but Ertz now added to the list. I think that it will be 21 points. I think that Kyler Murray is going to have a great, fun afternoon.
Good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my. I think this might be a real boring game come second quarter.
Yeah. That's always fun. I mean, you're watching the greatest team versus the perhaps maybe the worst team. Arguments could be made for the Dolphins.
Third worst. Yeah, third worst.
All right, dude. Saints game. New Orleans is on Monday Night Football this week. And they are traveling to Seattle to take on the Seattle Seahawks are going to be led by not Russell Wilson.
Right.
The line on this game now sits at 4.5. It was at 5 earlier this week, but currently the Saints are 4.5-point road favorites. The Seattle Seahawks, they're dealing with some injuries. They're dealing with the first time they've been without Russell Wilson, obviously. Vegas takes this into account. Todd, I am not coming anywhere near betting on this game. I just, for the record though, also the team totals, Saints team total on this is 23.5. Seattle's team total on this is 20.5. The over under on this game is 43. I would love to see the Saints win. It's about that time of year where the losses are going to be less excusable for me as a fan, because I expect more out of this team. And I have the expectation that the Saints are going to beat the Seattle Seahawks, and that they should. I am not going to wager on this game. What's your thoughts on the Saints?
You taught me a long time ago, do not bet on the Saints because it's totally emotion, and I agree with you with this. Who is taking Russell Wilson's place again for the audience?
Akili Smith.
Right.
He was a 2002, I believe, top 5 draft pick of the Cincinnati Bengals. Right. Immediately traded to the New York Jets, where Akili Smith would go on to capture and lose the starting job. His name actually isn't Akili. When Geno Smith first came in relief of Russell Wilson the other day, I was in such a marijuana-induced stupor that I thought he was Akili Smith. So that was a joke.
I was wondering where that name came from.
It was a joke for me because Akili Smith was like a top five draft pick of the Bengals in like the year 2001. the same draft that Dante Culpepper was in.
Right. And this is the first time Seattle.
Geno Smith came from the Jets. Sucks. Came from the Giants. He's the guy that they took and ended Eli's like 140 game consecutive start record so that Geno Smith could come in and try and do better. And that didn't happen. But he's been kind of quietly been Russell Wilson's backup for the last 3 years. And he has not looked bad on the stat line, but he has looked bad when it comes to winning games and doing things that you need to do to win games.
All right, I have this energy feeling. I know that the Saints are going to win this game. I am not going to bet on this game because I know the Saints are going to win most games. But I have this energy feeling that the Saints will win by 10 in this crazy, crazy, untouchable game. That's my energy feeling, that they're going to go out there a little bit organized and they're going to get lucky as they do this season. And I think this will be one where they win by 10.
I hope they win by 10, man. That'd be awesome. Like I said, I'm not willing to put some money on this. I made the mistake of betting on the Saints earlier this year, and I let my emotions get the best of me, and I did. I'm guilty. Guilty. Won't get me this week.
Well, can we do a throwback to the time you saved me $500 on the Saints?
Yeah, you were going to bet on the Las Vegas Raiders and New Orleans Saints, and you wanted me to go place like a fucking $500 money line bet on the Saints.
Money line.
I think they were like minus 300 or something, and then they went out and they lost the game.
They lost the game.
Yeah, I'll do that. Friends will call me with bad bets, and I'll go. I've got explosive diarrhea. I can't go do that right now.
Thank you again, by the way. That's awesome,
dude. I'm so glad that you came on tonight. Thank you for making the time. I know that you're going to be a father for the first time here soon. So you and I aren't going to get to hang out like this anymore, man. I know you and I were talking the other night. Aww. And I told you, dude, we're not going to get to hang out like this anymore. And you go, no, we will. Just call me. And I said, I don't like to waste my time on fruitless endeavors. You're going to be
still
a dad.
That way. Just call me and find out.
You're right. No, I'm not. Not
call me in
dial.
January. Call me for the Super Bowl. Call me.
Right.
For the Super
Bowl. Okay. You know what? I'll call you for the Super Bowl to talk. See how you're doing.
Yeah, you just
call me when you get a moment, if you want. If when you finally catch a moment, if your thing is like, I want to talk to Gunn, then you call me.
It is often.
I don't think it's going to be, though. You're about to be a father. You're going to have no free time. You're about the young father with a newborn baby. What I was trying to tell you about being a dad is you don't understand the love that you feel for your child. It's almost like supernatural and psychedelic. The great orator of our time, Joseph Rogan, once said that the love that you have for your children, it's almost like doing mushrooms, in that I cannot explain to you what doing mushrooms feels like. You just have to have done mushrooms in order to understand. And that's kind of how it is, like the love that you have for your children and what it feels like. It's a supernatural love that is indescribable. Literally, you must be a part of the party in order to feel what that love feels like. And you're going to get it, and you're going to understand it. And welcome to the breeding group, and I'm happy for you. I know I'm not gonna get to talk to you anymore, but I'm very, very, very excited for you.
Oh man, thank you so much. I really appreciate being a part of this, and love listening to you as always.
Well, dude, as is tradition, I want you to say goodnight to all the beautiful people that are listening and taking the over.
All right. Good night, all the beautiful people that are listening to Taking the Over.
And we'll see you guys on the other side. Hope you know the songs. Hope you know the songs. And Todd said, see you on the other side. Do it again, Todd.
See you on the side, motherfuckers.
Do it again. Do it again. One more time.
See you on the side, motherfuckers.
See you on the side, effers. I love you.
On
bye.
On the other side.